Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're a little more than 24 hours away from Steelers and Ravens. And this time on Friday's meetings, Kaboom is back. Mark Cabali didn't want to join us in Monroeville at Bowser Chevrolet because it's so out of the way for him. And he's got Christmas shopping he still needs to do.
How much of your shopping do you do in person, Mark? Like going to the physical stores and just packing the car full of goodies?
Yeah, you're funny, Malzy. You're funny. How long have you been married now?
8+ years.
Okay. And I'm sure you will be just as surprised on Christmas morning as your kids.
My wife and I honestly don't even, like, get each other stuff anymore.
What's that supposed to mean?
We just don't really get things for each other. Because my wife is impossible to buy for, and she would admit that if she heard me say
this. Just get her a bunch of those, like, horny fantasy books that she likes.
She's got all of them already.
Oh.
She's got every one of those books. And you know she's read 100 books this year? Literally 100 books.
That is insane. Doran Dickerson's never read a book cover to cover in his entire life, and he's a college graduate.
That's correct.
What college would that be?
It ain't the School of Hard Knocks, Mark. I think you've heard of it.
Yeah, I think I've read more than one book, I think.
What was the first book you read? That you can remember reading? Was it not like Berenstain Bears or something like that?
I say this, but it's not the first one. But I remember in college I had a class called baseball literature. And one of the first books we had to read was The Natural. I'm like, I got this. I've seen this movie 100 times already. Tossed the book away. things don't turn out in the book as they did in the movie.
That is 100% right.
I'm pretty sure they went for a little bit of a happier ending in the movie, did they not?
That is correct.
I was unaware of this until I got my grade, my test back, and I was like, you didn't read the book. I'm like, oh, you got me on that one.
Mark is obviously part of the Pat McAfee crew. McAfee? That's just, we're getting cut out. That's probably why you didn't hear it right.
Oh.
So is AQ Shipley, who I think is friends with your wife. Malzy?
My wife and sister-in-law went to Moon same time as him. Yeah, they know it. They know AQ. Yep.
AQ Shipley today. The Ravens are going to beat the bleep out of the Steelers. The Steelers' offense stinks. It's average at best. Russell Wilson is average at best. Offensive line, average at best. Steelers in for a rude awakening. Mark, did you give him that script for this game?
Wow. AQ, he's bringing it hot, right? I like AQ. AQ does a very good job on Pat's show with his breakdown of the offensive line. I don't know if I 100% agree with his assessment of what's going to transpire here tomorrow. I don't know if I can really say Russell Wilson stinks and rude awakening. The rude awakening is what losing to the Steelers 8 of the last 9 times or whatever that number may be. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a blowout or anything like that. I don't know. The hot takes are coming from right there. I mean, I'm sure it's based on a lot of.
So you think everything he said is wrong? That the offense is better than average, the quarterback's better than average, and the offensive line is better than average.
See, the problem is with the offensive line is, I would say it's better than average, but the problem with those guys are there's a little bit of inconsistency there because of the youth. I mean, we all know about the youth with Frazier, McCormick, Jones. So I think that comes through from time to time right there. But maybe he was on that. I don't even know what podcast he was on. You know, sometimes you go
the
on
Hammer podcast. Down podcast.
Oh, is that Tones? Is that?
I think we know.
I just threw that out there. I have no idea which podcast.
I have no idea. What I'm saying is
this was tweeted to me.
if it was one of these ancillary, not ancillary, but off the radar ones, you tend to say things that
you don't think are going to get out
in
there.
The mainstream media, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you should know if you say something like that, it has a way of getting out. I like to spin it.
Wait a minute. So, Mark, do you give us just like bland answers?
Yeah,
you go on like David Todd's podcast and you start saying the most ridiculous things of all time?
No, you know, you get some high school kid who wants to go on the show, wants you to go on the show, or some college kid.
So you're giving those kids the best stuff because you're trying to give them a little bump. Hey, look, Mark Cabali went on this show and he said Russell Wilson's going to throw left-handed in this game.
And then you come on with us and you turn into Ed Bouchette. I don't know.
Well, guys, they're going to run the ball and they're going to defend the run.
Well, you know, Joel Steed dropped into coverage.
The zone blitz was a hallmark of Dom Capers before Dick LeBeau adopted it. I'm going to stop right now because I'll go way down a rabbit hole. I'm going to ask you a serious one, though, how to spin it forward. I agree with him that the offense without Pickens, I think most people do, looks pretty inept. What are some actual tangible things you think they can do to look better on offense without 14 out there this week?
They're going to have to give some shots. I mean, the bottom line is the secondary of the Ravens still is 29th, 30th in the league. They are still one of the more penalized secondaries in the league.
Yep.
So why not take advantage of that and take some deep shots to Mike Williams, or if it's even Van Jefferson, whoever it is. If it's Ben Skowronek, I don't really care. But take some of those shots, get some of those big chunk plays, either penalty-wise or actually completions. And I think that's what's been missing, or at least last week it was definitely missing without Pickens. And that's what you need from this offense to be able to loosen things up, because you know darn well that the Ravens are going to do the same exact game plan. They're going to try to keep the deep ball for them throwing the deep ball, and they're going to jam up the line of scrimmage and prevent them from running, and you're going to have to beat it. And I think the way to beat it is to force it down the field where the average secondary and a refereeing crew that tends to throw their number of flags. I think they're up to, what, 21, the Vinovich flags.
Did you know that the Vinovich family is from Beaver County and all three of them are in the Beaver County Hall of Fame with Ron Cook and Bob Pompiani for their officiating work?
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that. That is a trio there.
Yes. Do you think we'll get favorable calls because he's from this area?
No.
No.
No, actually,
Mark, breaking news here. Thanks to Donnie. The Ravens have now waived Deontay Johnson.
No, I'm not picking him.
Next move. Steelers can't wait to get him back in the fold, right?
If I check my mentions right now, there's probably about 15 of them. Should we sign Deontay? No, I don't think so at all. I mean,
he said everything was hunky dory when he came back here, that he was very huggy and very,
he can be nice and huggy, but I mean, what's he going to really do? Although, you know what? What's strange is there was a handful of games in Carolina under the Andy Dalton time that he looked like a top notch receiver, at least an upper echelon receiver. There's just too much risk in my eyes to bring in him a guy, no matter how much you need him. I think Pickens, if pushed, maybe he could have played this week. But I think that decision, well, I'm pretty much sure that decision was made on Monday. But they just played it off until later in the week. They had no interest in playing him this week. So, no, I don't think Deontay is going to even be a second.
Obviously, it was horrible move by the Ravens. They didn't give up a lot for him, but it just backfired tremendously on them, where his only meaningful play was a catch where he tried to get out of bounds, then ran backwards. Five targets, one catch, 6 yards. But I would say right now, it's hard for me to want to dance on Deontay Johnson's Ravens grave because of what's gone on with Mike Williams here. Yes, he won them the Washington game, but he's been on the back of a milk carton since. We had BMAC on. He said, I don't understand why this guy isn't more involved in their offense. Can you give an answer for that or to that?
Can I do my Mike Tomlin, say stay tuned? How long are we going to stay tuned here?
I'm getting sick of hearing him saying that. He keeps teasing. I hate TV shows that say the next episode is going to be great. And then you watch it.
Cliffhanger, and then there's nothing. Yeah. It's like we're in a test pattern with this guy right now.
You know, when somebody shot JR and you didn't find out till 6 months later on Dallas, right?
What are you going to tell me, that Mike Williams' time with the Steelers was actually all a dream?
Is that how it turned out?
I'm pretty sure that's how they decided to rectify it. Yes.
You know, the shooting of JR.
I would just quit watching after the Dukes of Hazzard, probably, on those Fridays when Dallas was on.
Mark, here's a serious question. Again, like with Williams, we keep hearing about people speculating and saying maybe he doesn't have a good handle on the playbook. And to that, I will continue to respond.
That's what BMAC brought up, maybe.
Yes. Matter. How much of a handle does he need to have? Hey, Mike. Yeah. Guess what? You're 6'4". You ever ran a go route before? Line up here and run a go route. Congratulations. There's your route tree.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, they did that with Martavis Bryant back in his rookie season. He ran one route, maybe two. You know, the screen or the nine pattern, right? The nine route down the field. I don't see why you can't do something like it. I don't have an answer. I'm like BMAC. Every week you're thinking, is this going to be the week for him to be able to break out a little bit? No, I just don't understand, because there's obviously a need for it now, and he's getting enough snaps in the 20-30s range where he should be able – well, at least, you know, if you don't have 10 – plays in the second half of like last week, but normally he's decent amount of snaps where he should be able to produce or at least provide something. I don't think it's Russell. I don't think it's Arthur Smith not dialing up the players. I am flabbergasted, like Ron Cook would say. I don't know why he shouldn't be played. And he's not producing, and they just need to force him the ball maybe. And I don't know if they'll do it.
Mark, how much of an issue do you think it is? I'm sure you saw the stat that they were incredibly predictable run or pass based on either under center or shotgun. How much of a factor do you think that is in making Philly's life easier?
Ooh, I didn't even see that stat.
I'll give you the numbers. 25 shotgun snaps, 23 of them pass plays. Out of their 16 running or under center snaps, 81% of them were running plays. And Darius I think even said basically we knew what was coming given how they lined up.
And then he gave the game ball to Pickett.
Correct.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think there's a lot of times with those read option plays, Russell makes that call at the line of scrimmage. Maybe it's the formation they were in. I'm not 100% sure. I'd have to go around asking and figure out what happened right there. But that could be an explanation of why. Of just the front that they were facing, that they knew that they were going to run or pass out of certain formations. I don't think that's them being more or less predictable. The predictable stuff is, you know, running first and second down, trying to get third and manageable, then punting on a three and out. That's stuff that you can throw the ball on first down. I understand why they do it, because they want to get into that third and manageable, because obviously it's easier to be able to convert third downs. But you do probably shouldn't mix it up a little bit, especially when you have what the Eagles did to them and just packed it in. And you would imagine the Ravens are going to do the same. But if that is the case, if they knew it because of that, then something's wrong. You have to do some self-evaluation if they knew it was coming based on formation alone, not because of formation of their formation based on what the Eagles were showing them.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. We're talking Steelers, Ravens. Pat McAfee, correspondent Mark Cabali, is with us. Very good point by former Steelers insider Jeremy Fowler. In the last few minutes, Deontay Johnson has been waived by the Ravens. 4 p.m. is when he will clear waivers and any team can sign him.
4 p.m. Monday.
4 p.m. Monday, thank you. And Fowler's take, the man lit millions of dollars on fire.
It's true.
He said he would have been a top 25 free agent if he hadn't effed this up with the Ravens because of what Mark said about his renaissance in Carolina with Andy Dalton before Bryce Young went back in, before he was traded. And by refusing to go into the game with the Ravens and now getting waived, his NFL career is basically on life support. Mark, did you see any signs that this guy was turning into a dink just like Antonio Brown did here?
No, not really. I mean, maybe behind the scenes, some of the stuff that we all heard about, getting into the fights. I mean, I've been told numerous people from numerous locations, from Baltimore to Carolina, and witness yourself, that he's a very good guy, but a very terrible teammate. And that sounds like, I mean, that's just not Pittsburgh. I've heard that from other beat writers, other writers from other
cities. What
does that
even mean? So, like, nice guy, but just like, the only thing I can think of is he comes off when times are bad. Not like an A.J. Brown, I'm ticked off. He comes off like an Eeyore-type personality, like just glum and mopey, and I don't know. I could see him being a bad teammate, Mark, in the sense that, like, he just isn't a let's rally together here, we're all in this, you know, together kind of guy, hand in the pile dude.
Yep. You know, to flip back real quick on the money-wise, the ironic part of him requesting a trade was because he wanted to go somewhere else to show his worth with a better quarterback when he wanted to get traded so he can make more money in free agency this past year. So the whole thing comes full circle, and it's just – I don't know. I didn't see it imploding like this. Of course, I don't know exactly what happened in the other locations, but for two teams or three teams in the span of 6-8 months, couldn't wait to get rid of him. That should tell you all you need to know. I mean, I don't think he's a bad guy or anything, but he might be a me first type of guy right now. And
how about the guy who replaced him here, Jackson? Is he going to play against the Ravens tomorrow?
I think he will. He's a type of guy that gets banged up, but he fights through it. I think he had shoulder injuries, hamstring injuries, now back injuries, and he goes out of the game and comes back. I think they will have him ready for this game. It's not like the Ravens have a plethora of wide receivers at their disposal anyway, with Aguilar was rolled out and Bateman had a boot on as of yesterday, and he's had chronic foot injuries as well.
You can relate to that. You've got a whole room full of boots in your house.
I can do. I got one, two, and my daughter had one, too, so there's three of them out in the garage. I'll keep them for future use, potentially. Zay Flowers is the only one they have, so I think they got a big advantage secondary-wise, even if without Elliott's not playing, because their receivers are probably just as bad as the Steelers. I mean, not bad, but have produced as much as the Steelers.
How big of a loss in this game is not having Deshaun Elliott, in your opinion?
I don't know. I mean,
on that, Mark. I don't know.
Wait, I'm thinking here because it can't help because of how well he's played. However, I'm looking at last week and what they were able to do with Saquon Barkley without him, and you know they're going to stop the run just flipping Minka and KZ around again. So I don't know how much this really is going to affect them because their plan was going to stop Derrick Henry anyways. And if you're going to stop Barkley, you're going to stop him. So I think they're just fortunate to have a guy like Fitzpatrick can play those different positions at high levels. So if something comes along like this, so I don't know if it's a huge loss for this week, but I would love to have him in there. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Then maybe you could potentially have Minka back at the place where they want him at in deep safety. So I don't think it's that big of a deal just for this one or two games. I'd much rather have him healthy come January 10th.
Mark, are we going to get to a point, because I think we should tomorrow, where Jalen Warren doesn't only out-snap Najee Harris because they're trailing in games and he's the guy that's a better pass protector and a better guy catching the ball out of the backfield and is used more on early downs and early possessions in games, try to get the offense starting off better than that rickety-ass truck that friggin' Arthur Smith was talking about?
Yeah, what's that? Week. Oh, we're an old crummy truck, but once we get going, we're like unstoppable.
Yeah, put some Bob Seger on and it's just some easy riding for us.
Yeah, I was gonna, like, all I thought about was an F-150 with a bunch of rust around the wheel wells there, Mark.
Yeah, that's Arthur trying to be funny. He tries. He got that dry humor.
Isn't he like, but he does all the super quirky stuff. Did he compare their offense to like a Civil War battle where one side was getting their heads caved in for a while and then they came back?
Did he have his zin in while he was doing it?
Yeah, he is a zin guy. Plus, you know, that Cheesecake Factory menu, right, too, he was always refers to. I don't know if that's a Cheesecake Factory menu anymore, the way some of these players call. But you know what I think the issue is they want to get Najee the ball first. If he has any success whatsoever, they tend not to go away from him. You know what I'm saying? They tend to stick with the hot hand. So then before you know it, you know, Jalen Warren's not getting enough carries. Now, if Najee struggles early and you flip it in and Jalen's actually – producing, then he'll go with the hot hand. But Najee's always going to get.
But I don't think we should have to wait for that. I don't know why we have to wait for that, Mark.
Well, it wasn't like 5 or 6 weeks ago. The big cry was they should have signed.
Well, I did the numbers deep dive here. He had three excellent games in a row, and he has not been good outside of the three-game run, Mark.
Five or six games ago, Kirk Cousins was still a good NFL starting quarterback. Things change.
I know Starkey asked me five consecutive weeks if they screwed up about not signing Najee Harris. So what was that contract going to look like next year? And they, you know, things tend to even out. I don't know how healthy he is. I still say that with his ankle. I'm not quite sure how healthy he is. I just don't think that they're going to go in there and I think they still worry about Jalen Warren's ball security. And that's
ironic because of what happened.
But if he actually catches the ball, Najee doesn't fumble a lot. So I don't think it's going to be a huge swing one way or another. You could debate whether it should be or whether it not be. It's just not
I think that's what I'm doing right now. And
I don't know.
Do you agree with what they're doing?
I would much rather see, like last year, the 60-40 split type of thing. Just, you know, even more, you know, 55-45, something like that. That's, I think that's where they're most effective at. But you have to be very disciplined in bringing one guy in and another guy out. So.
Is this specifically, in your opinion, a Mike Tomlin wants to see more Najee, or is he delegating it and Arthur Smith is saying, no, I like having Harris in there more too?
No, I don't think so. Everything I've ever heard about how they delegate reps with those guys is it's Eddie Faulkner. You know, he's the one that says this guy needs to go in now. This needs to come.
What about if there's a fumble involved? Like, is that where Tomlin would step in and be like, Eddie, I don't trust that guy anymore for this game?
Mike Tomlin always has last say or first say in it. And if he wants Najee in there for a series, he'll say, put 22 in there, and 22 is going in there. But if it's, you know, all the same here, it's mostly what they come up with Faulkner. Because it determined – I don't know what they determined it on. Maybe that is preset in the game plan ahead. We want to get him more involved in this and that. I mean, you look at the Cincinnati game. That was obviously a Najee-specific plan there to get him the ball through the air and running the ball. Then the next week it almost sort of flipped because they threw the ball to – Jalen a lot. Once again, I don't think you should say this guy should get X amount of carries. If you put both of them in there, you know, like I said, 60-40, I think that's the best case scenario to move forward and in this game.
Mark Cabali, Steelers insider for the Pat McAfee Show. Mark, where can people get the stuff you write about the Steelers?
Oh, on that platform they call it Twitter X, baby. Usually if you look under my highlights tab, they're all nice and neatly categorized there. Or there's a category, not category, whatever word I'm looking for. I don't really know. They're all there. Wordsmith.
They're organized there.
True wordsmith there, Malzy.
Did you like the Malzy the Snowman song that Starkey put together?
He tried too hard. Wasn't his best effort.
He was trying to rhyme and went with George McPhee instead of nine straight threes. It was just an unbelievable bag.
It was the ruination of the song.
That's a layup right there.
It went about as well as a Ravens 2-point conversion attempt against the Steelers.
Or a Justin Tucker 45-yard field goal. Donnie, what did you think of the song? I haven't asked you yet.
I thought Bob's part was good. I mean, he put a lot of effort into that. I did hear that the writing of it got pretty lazy at the end is what I heard.
I mean, I think everybody acquitted themselves well. Gwen from sales, she was the leader of that female, trio, and she's like an actual singer-songwriter, like as a side, you know, thing that she's, I think, made money off of. So she did well. I think everybody but the principal on the song, Joseph Raymond Starkey, did their job.
Mark, were you ever in a choir or a band or anything like that?
I played the trumpet in grades.
Oh, that is a sight to behold, I'm guessing. Four? If there are pictures of that, I would like to see one.
I was so bad. Fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh grade. I was so bad in seventh grade. I was like third, whatever group.
Third chair.
They once made me play because I was so terrible and got so embarrassed. So if you look at my 19, I don't even know what yearbook it is, my junior high, middle school yearbook, I have my music teacher, band teacher's picture all scratched up and drew pictures and glasses and a cigarette in his mouth. That's how much I hated him. Then I quit the next year and played eighth grade football. So that was it. I said, I can't do both. He goes, yes, you can. I said, nope.
My freshman year, music teacher at North Catholic smoked, I think, 2 packs a day of unfiltered Camel cigarettes. Still alive, apparently, too. That's hardcore. Mark, did you and Pony, this is for you, Donnie, did any of you guys or did all of you guys play the recorder in school?
I have no idea what that even is.
You don't know? Donnie, come on.
Yeah, it's kind of like a flute. I've actually had this discussion with people.
Is that a Western?
I don't know if it's a Western PA thing, but I still to this day do not understand why we had to learn how to play it.
Because I feel it's an instrument that they think every kid can play because it's not that complicated. But
Mark, did you do it?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Same.
So
same
if you guys,
you.
So it does look like a flute, and it's fairly simple to teach. And if you're really good at it, like there's a dude who does a recorder solo, the Freebird solo on a recorder, which is insane. But yeah, like little kids play this instrument because like you can teach basically any kid how to play it. Like it requires very little skill to start playing. Mm. Like there's no barrier to entry.
I want to interrupt this
recorder talk.
Riveting musical discussion to break in with another Deontay Johnson nugget. So obviously Mark has had his battles with Alan Saunders. He once said that Saunders should basically lose his sports media card for never having seen any of the Rocky movies. And I agree with Mark on that, for the record. Yes.
Karate Kid too.
Saunders is saying here that he actually thinks that one of the reasons why the Ravens kept Deontay Johnson around and waited until 4 o'clock on Friday to release him is because he thinks it's conceivable or possible that the Ravens thought the Steelers would resign him. And they didn't want him going back there for this game. Mark, do you put any stock in that?
I have to look up the rules, first of all. Does he even have to clear waivers to be signed? Isn't it his choice of where he signs at because he's a vested veteran?
I don't know. Everybody that covers the NFL on a national level says he's got waivers until 4 o'clock Monday.
Yep.
I thought he might have been a vested veteran. I don't know how. I don't know what those rules are exactly right now. I haven't kept up on it this past year. Because if he's a vested veteran, he becomes a free agent immediately, and he could sign whoever he wants. I find it hard to believe he's just a free agent, and anybody could pick him up off of waivers if they want to right now. But I don't think the Steelers. No, I don't think that's – no. That's worse than his Rocky take.
I love it. Mark, who are you
– why don't you give that – if you really wanted to pop off with Saunders, assign that take a PFF grade.
Yeah. a grade like – it'd be in the 50s. Is that considered like very poor?
I was going to say, yeah, that's like Devin Bush's grade with them every year. No, I was going to say you should hit him off with that like John C. Reilly guy that you do every year.
Oh, Dr. Steve Brule.
You know, he sits right next to me in the media room at the Steelers. So
now it's Saunders just saying, Adam Gretz, who he likes, said, if you were Omar, would you bring him back? And Saunders, I would, but I wouldn't have traded him in the first place.
So then somebody ought to say, do you think Dante Jackson has not been a worthwhile return?
Yeah, what's that all about?
You want me to give you his number? You can get him on the horn after this?
No, that's okay.
No, one of us just needs to respond to that tweet, and we'll be locked in a 90-minute battle with Saunders.
Mark, who are you picking in this game?
I'm going to stick with the Ravens on this one. I just can't look past the Pickens thing. I know that's almost become cliche right now, that without Pickens they can't do anything, but I can't get that out of my mind from last week, seeing
neither
how
can
that
I.
happened, how that occurred. So I still think it'll be a close game. I thought it was going to be a closer game last week than what it was. I mean, honestly, it was a 13-point game last week and probably could have been 35. You know, that's how bad they played, in my opinion. So I think they'll bounce back, but I just don't think that they'll win this one. But I still think they have a great shot of winning the division.
If the Ravens score 17 points, who wins?
They're held to 17. I think the Steelers will have a good chance to win, but I don't think they will.
If the Ravens score 21, who wins?
I think it might be like a 21-20 game there. I'm thinking more like 24-20, something like that.
If the Steelers' offense shocks the world and is like stunningly productive in this game, Give me one player other than Russell Wilson that we'll be talking about going, wow, that guy stepped up in a huge way.
I wouldn't say Freiermuth because he's had a pretty good stretch of three games, so I wouldn't think he would fit in that conversation. I want to say Van Jefferson might have an opportunity to catch a touchdown pass. I don't know if that would be considered a huge
Well, based on what thing. He's done this year, yes, it would be, especially in a close game like this.
I think he has an opportunity to expose some of this secondary here, if anybody. I don't think it's going to be Mike Williams, Skoranek, Scotty Miller, none of those guys. I think Austin always has a shot to have a deep ball, but I'm going Van Jefferson.
Mark, should we expect T.J. Watt to be anything less than the elite T.J. Watt we saw last week in Philadelphia because he's still hobbled by the ankle in this game?
I'm just curious to see how they're going to use him. I when he comes off the edge, there's a lot of pressure on that ankle, that left ankle.
Well, now, that's why Dr. Chow said flip him. He said it would be easier on his ankle.
Not only flip him, just move him around a little bit, rush him from the inside a little bit. So I'm curious to see if it's – I think that's how you'll be able to tell how injured he is or how much he's playing through some pain if they end up doing that.
What's your prediction on it right now?
I think they'll move him around a little bit. They'll probably test it early on to see, and he might figure, this is not really working out very well. But, even if he had that injury, he had no after effects whatever. I mean, if it was really bothering him, you would have noticed it after the game. You would have noticed it Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and you wouldn't have known any different if he got injured or not. Now, that's different than in-game and actually game speed here, but I think they'll give him a good shot, and if not, then they'll maybe move him around a little bit more than they normally do.
Better way that this game could start for the Steelers: they get the ball first, and their offense just goes marching right down the field, 70 yards in 8 plays, touchdown, 7-0 lead. Or Lamar Jackson's first possession ends in a Cam Hayward tipping the ball to himself and then rumbling like a big man for a 7-0 pick six.
Wow. I would say the offense, because I don't know when the last time that's happened. Has that happened?
It hasn't
this year?
Happened all year, no.
No, and then the other one could be analogous to like Spillane picking him off and going the distance.
Yes.
In a game, not that long
remember
ago.
Remember that, Mark?
Yeah, I remember that. I don't even know if I was in my seat. But you know what? They switched the press box around in Baltimore, so that used to be right at us. I don't know where we're at. I think we're in the end zone now.
Well, remembering things from Steelers-Ravens was a big topic on Joe's show today. Donnie was his co-host, and they did the Steelers-Ravens quiz show, and Donnie dominated. Him, I don't know if you heard any of that. Donnie, would you like to maybe give Mark one of the questions that you got right to see if he has the kind of Steelers-Ravens memory like an elephant that you have?
Mark, in the 2014 meeting when Ben Roethlisberger threw 6 touchdown passes, there was only one Steelers pass catcher who had 2 touchdown receptions. Do you know who it is?
2014.
When Ben was in the midst of his 12 touchdowns in 2 weeks.
James Washington. No, he wasn't even on the team yet.
Starkey bet Hines Ward, and that was incorrect.
He wasn't.
I see his face. What the heck is his name? The guy that didn't talk very much. Very quiet guy. I can't think of his name.
Were you going to say Marcus Wheaton?
Yes, I was going to say Marcus Wheaton.
It was not Marcus Wheaton.
Yeah, that was a red herring by me.
It was Martavis Bryant.
All right, ask him the one about the
01?
About the 01 Steelers that had Joe throwing his paper all over the place and screaming.
Yeah, the 2001 meeting in Baltimore, who caught a 90-yard touchdown pass in the game that won the Steelers their final AFC Central crown?
Oh, my goodness. This is going to be Bobby Shaw.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, who threw it to him, though? How about that?
Cordell.
All right, I got another one for you, Mark. When the Steelers won the Super Bowl in 2005, the Ravens roster, I believe this is the way this is supposed to be worded, had one former Steelers player on it at that time.
As a backup?
As a backup. Who was it?
Did he play?
He was a backup. It was a former Steeler who, by that point, when the Steelers won Super Bowl 40, was a backup on the Ravens roster. Can you name who that was?
Did Austin get position, or did he just say backup?
He did not give a position.
Let me think here. I think Woodson was gone by then.
I can just imagine Starkey getting this question, being given this, and just freaking out on
somebody
Austin.
Texted me that he flipped out and said, this is the most convoluted question I've ever heard in my life.
I love it.
Basically make it null and void.
I love it.
I don't know. Rod Woodson, I'm guessing. I have no idea.
That was also Cordell.
Oh.
Here's another one that Joe missed right off the bat, and then I got it. Who was the Ravens' first ever draft pick?
First ever draft pick. What was it, 96 then?
Yep.
96? Was it Ray Lewis?
So Ray Lewis was in the same round. They had two draft picks in the first round. I'll give you this clue. It was another Hall of Famer.
Ed Reed.
No, Jonathan Ogden. Mark.
Big Johnny O.
That's a horrible guess.
You know what? I once used the bathroom at the Super Bowl next to Jonathan Ogden. He got really mad that people would urinate in the stall. Remember.
Like, did he have to drop a deuce and he was mad that there was real estate, valuable real estate being used up?
I guess he didn't like that people were
they splashing the seat?
I guess. I mean, if it's a full house, what are you going to do, right?
So I do think he's in the wrong. I think he's very much in the wrong there.
Honestly, one of the best offensive linemen ever played a game, and the only thing I could think of first is his bathroom. Well,
I have a Greg Gumbel story like that I don't have time to share, and involves Baltimore. Mark, the other one, I think, Donnie, tell me if I have this one right. 2008 AFC Championship game, there were three picks. Troy had one. Name a Steeler who had another one in that game.
2008.
Yep, Troy obviously had the picks to win it. Who had the other two? Name one of the other two guys who picked off a pass.
Tyrone Carter.
Holy moly.
Got it. Let's go, Mark.
Very impressive, Mark. Man, this is just making Starkey look worse and worse and worse.
What a horrible week for him in the long
Stock
run.
Stock down you for Starkey.
You ruin the Malzi the Snowman song, and then you just get obliterated by Donnie Steelers Ravens trivia.
If Joe is listening to any of this, he's inching closer to his finger pressing that red nuclear option button he claims exists for all of us.
He went nuts on me this week in an argument, and I guess he did the same thing to you too, Mark, from what I heard.
I don't know. I tend not to listen to him.
You know, like when he's actually specifically talking to you, you just tend to tune him out.
Mark's like Homer Simpson in the thought bubble, has like a monkey playing the cymbals in his head while he's asking questions.
He always does this. Can I engage in a game of whatever he does?
Oh yeah, can I engage you in a game of word association? The first word that pops in your mind.
Then he asks you a question that's impossible to answer with one word. Then you you add to it. Then he yells at you, you're not using one word. Then when you don't, he just pauses and waits for you to say the word anyways. I'm like, Joe, what are you doing here? And he goes, you're ruining the game.
Donnie, is this a fair complaint by Mark in your opinion?
I thought the line that I don't really listen to him was pretty funny.
I know. Well, that's something Joe admitted to doing to me when we were on the show together. Right. I would make a big highfalutin point. He would just look up from his computer and go, Malzi, I'm really sorry. I just wasn't listening to any of that.
So I was on Wednesday and Pomp asked me a question.
Yeah.
And then he comes back and goes, sorry, it's not like I wasn't paying really much attention. Yes, I was. And he, I swear to you, he asked me the same exact question.
Oh, Mark, he has pulled that with me, and I think he figured that it was less embarrassing to just say I wasn't listening. There were times where I would make my opinion. He'd go, that's an interesting point, Malzi. Here's what I think. He would just restate the exact opinion, like verbatim almost. And I sometimes have to say to him, Joe, that's literally what I just said. And the look of confusion that would come across his face was unbelievable.
I think you missed him, Malzi. You know, I think, the next anniversary you guys have, I think you should get back.
I know what you're going to say. You're going to put those two together and you're going to put me with Cookie. Is what you're shooting for.
That would be great. No, we could bring back Vinny. I mean, I guess you did that a little bit.
I missed the quiz show. Donnie talking about how upset Joe got that Donnie was just wiping him out in the quiz show did make me feel a little nostalgic for that segment.
Yeah, because he always views himself as a trivia expert, doesn't he, Starkey?
We did like little quiz show seasons of how many ever weeks. He never once beat me in a quiz show season.
So he's a phony.
Starkey's
well, no, he would.
Your words,
I,
not mine.
He would. No, I don't think it's that. I think he would just lock up under pressure. It would be like a guy missing 4-foot putts to win like the U.S. Open or the Masters.
So it's safe to say that he never hit 9 threes.
See, that's the one thing I never say about him, man. If there's anybody at this station working on our airwaves right now who I would trust with my life to hit like 3 3-pointers in a row, it would be Joe. Not even close.
Not even Cal?
Dude, have you seen Joe shoot? I think he outshot Megan McConnell and he tied Julius Page in a 3-point shooting contest. Wait, he made 8 of 10.
I saw that with him and Becky. Oh, man, he was awful. The horse?
No, he did a free throw shooting contest against Megan McConnell, and I think they had to go to extra shots because they both made like 9 of 10, and then Joe made like 7 or 8 in a row to beat her.
Oh, I saw the video you guys put up of him playing horse, and he was just awful.
Mm. Wow, I think we got to challenge you. Yeah, I agree. We got to get you two out there again.
Challenge him, Mark.
All right, Mark.
Me?
Yeah.
I'd blow something out, shoulder, ankle, knee.
Achilles jaw. Again. Jaw?
All right, Mark.
Bye, Mark.
See ya.
All right, we'll see you guys.
Mark Cabali.